This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
This is 1320 WILS. I'm Michael Cohen. Great to have you here on a Monday night. Not too bad. 42, a low of 30 tonight. Tomorrow we get up to 41. Partly sunny, down to 24 is the low. As Islam now deals with extremism and struggles to confront it, my next guest says Muslims today should turn to Jesus to learn some very key lessons. Mustafa Akyol is the author of the new book, The Islamic Jesus, How the King of the Jews Became the Prophet of the Muslims. Mustafa, great to have you on WILS.
Thank you so much, Michael. It's great to be on the show.
Tell me about your background. Where are you originally from?
Sure. I'm from Turkey, Istanbul. I'm a writer, opinion writer, many years, and a lecturer at a university. But recently, I'm visiting Wellesley College in Massachusetts, and I'm writing on religious political affairs. And I'm a regular writer for the New York Times.
You're a Muslim yourself, then?
Indeed, yes, of course. Okay. I'm a Turkish Muslim.
Now, I'm curious,
pushing for some change.
Now, when you write a book with this kind of title, do you get criticism from the Muslim world in any way?
Well, the book is coming out just today, so we will see the responses. But I don't expect too much criticism because in the book, on the one hand, I explain how Islam perceives Jesus, what the Quran teaches about Jesus. These are fundamental things that Muslims cannot go against, but I'm also recalling Muslims to look at Jesus and to learn something from him.
Now, tell me this, because you say for Muslims, Jesus is a quote, prophet of Islam. What does that mean exactly?
Well, Islam respects Jesus in the Quran. There is virgin birth. Mary and Jesus are respected, but Jesus is seen as a prophet, not as a divine son of God, as in Christianity. So that is certainly a gap between Christianity and Islam, and I understand this gap is there, and I'm not trying to fill that necessarily. But still, I'm calling my fellow Muslims to say, well, we may not agree with the Christians on theology, on everything, but we can still learn from the teaching of Jesus.
Now, is there a fundamental difference in the teachings of Muhammad versus Jesus?
I think in some aspects they are similar, but I think they are different in some aspects. And I think there's a reason for this in my point of view, because Muhammad was the founder of a whole new religion. He was like Moses and Joshua. Whereas Jesus came to Jews when they already had a religion, but that religion was frozen and turned into a literalist set of laws without the Spirit. And I'm saying now, we are a bit like the time of Jews, like the time of Jesus. We have zealots and Pharisees, and we need a new wisdom to look into this, try to look at the spirit of the laws rather than, let's say, stoning women to, you know, death because of adultery, as, you know, as Jesus tried to save people, you know, at his time. So my argument is that we Muslims generally say Jesus is a prophet, but then let's go and learn from him. And that's an argument made by some prominent Islamic scholars like Muhammad Abdul from Egypt in the 19th century. Yeah. But it's been dismissed and forgotten. So I'm trying to revive that perspective.
So by the way, Mustafa Akyol is the author of the brand new book just out today, The Islamic Jesus, How the King of the Jews Became a Prophet of the Muslims. Specifically, what is it Muslims could learn from Jesus, today's Muslims?
I think what we can learn from Jesus is that the intention behind religion is more important than just a dry set of laws. Just you can observe the laws, that's a part of Islam, but why you do it and are you really honoring God while doing something, that is more important. It is important to look at the purpose of, for example, penal codes and injunctions. And, you know, Sharia is a big issue among Muslims. You know, not every Muslim wants to impose the Sharia, but there are groups that want to impose the Sharia. And I very much see them like the Pharisees at the time of Jesus, trying to coerce people to observe a set of laws without understanding the meaning of it, without realizing that imposing religion creates hypocrisy, not true piety.
Musa, I'm curious, though, when you talk about the respect Islam has for Jesus, well, why do we see, then, the hatred, especially from Islamists, towards Christianity and Judaism and so on?
Well, though that hatred is often, if you ask me, political rather than theological directly. Mm-hmm. And also, there are some interpretations of Islam that are theologically hostile as well. I'm not going to deny that. I mean, but I'm saying that this is not coming maybe from the core of Islam, but from a certain shape it has taken over the centuries by, you know, bigoted medieval interpretations or by political anger and grievances of our time. And let's not forget that those Islamists are angry at more moderate Muslims as well, or Shia Muslims, or Muslims from a different sect. They're just, you know, self-righteous zealots, I mean, if you want to use a term, right, who actually are angry at anybody who's not like themselves.
Yeah, but aren't they the ones that you want, you know, learning from Jesus? Aren't they the least likely to do so?
Well, I'm not hoping to convert, like, true terrorists, like militants like ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Probably you cannot reason with those people. But there are also Muslims, it's a big majority. There are Muslims who are willing to be a part of the democratic, open societies of the world, free world, but also do not want to do what they have as their religious tradition. So there are kind of Muslims in between. So I want to appeal to them and to say that, to tell them, well, here's a different way of looking into the idea of law, which is very important to Sharia. Let's understand the moral purposes behind it rather than just being blind literalists.
Do you think Muslims, the majority of Muslims, should do more to confront the extremists in the religion?
I think they should, definitely. Some of them do, some of them don't. Some of them don't think that, you know, it's their problem. But I do think that more Muslims should confront. Sometimes they confront by they can't get their voice across, so there are a lot of complications there. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you that, I mean, the groups like ISIS, Al-Qaeda, the terrorists, that concerns Americans, concern other Muslims as well. I mean, they're hitting our countries and nations as well. My city, Istanbul, has bombed by those terrorist groups as well. And, of course, Muslims condemn them when that happens.
When you see that, is there any way to – you say there's no real way to reason with them. So is this just a matter of fighting it out to the death? Is that it?
I mean, some people, yes. Probably you cannot reason. I'm not looking for – a conversation with terrorists of ISIS. You cannot reason with that. So at some point, at that level of fanaticism and violence, you have to rely on security measures, and that would be war or anti-terrorism campaigns and so on and so forth. But that's a very small faction of ultra-radical militants. But then you have whole 1.7 billion people of Muslim world in which those extremists make a very small number. Then you have other groups, which can be sometimes closed-minded, open-minded. Mm-hmm. Some of them can be not violent, but still bigoted in certain issues. So I'm trying to appeal to that big silent majority mm-hmm. and trying to call them for looking at religion. And the respect for Jesus is a fundamental thing in Islam. Every Muslim will say we respect Jesus. But then I say, if you respect Jesus, what do we learn from him? Yeah. Because we are at a time exactly like he was addressing the Pharisees of his time, zealots of his time.
Does the lesson of turn the other cheek, does that compute in the world of Islam?
Well, actually, there's a verse in the Quran which teaches something similar to that, despite the fact that many Muslims, you know, don't take it very seriously or to their heart. The verse says, if someone does something bad to you, respond with good, and you will see that person as a good friend of yours. Mm-hmm. So that's a teaching in the Quran. It sounds very much like the Jesus teachings, I think, in the New Testament. For some reason, I think we Muslims have not emphasized that enough.
Hmm. I'm curious, because I'm certainly no expert, but I've heard about the verses in the Quran that deal with Jews and describing them as pigs and so on. What do you make of those aspects?
Well, there are verses in the Quran about wars with infidels, with pagans especially. And I see them as the chapters in the book of Joshua, for example, explaining the wars between the Israelites and the pagan Canaanites of the time. Mm-hmm. I see as a historical event. Prophet Muhammad was the head of a Muslim community. It was attacked. They had to defend themselves. They had wars. So those wars were reported in the Quran or explained in the Quran. But I don't think it defines me today as a Muslim and gives me a commandment.
Now, when you see Muslims are taking the religion so literally and so militantly, what do you think? Why do you think they're doing that?
Well, they're doing that sometimes because they are living in a political context of war and conflict. And when they look at religion, they can only see that. Mm-hmm. They are living under dictatorships, or they are living within civil wars. Conflict itself sometimes, you know, radicalizes the interpretation of religion, rather than religion creating the conflict in the first place. On the other hand, I'll admit there are some really bigoted teachings that we would call Salafism, the most extreme interpretation of, for example, Sunni Islam. Mm-hmm. Those are bigoted teachings against non-Muslims, against Jews, Christians, anybody mm-hmm. who's not Muslim, even anybody who's not in that particular sect of Islam. So we have a combination of, that's why I say, a political crisis combined with the teachings of some bigoted interpretations.
Now, let me ask you this, Mustafa, you're from Turkey. With the attacks you're seeing, I mean, how hopeful are you that we're going to end up winning this battle?
Well, this is a long battle. It will, I think, take the whole 21st century. Mm-hmm. But I think ultimately Islam will change and adapt. Because Islam was able to build a open, vibrant, brilliant civilization in its first centuries. When you compare Islamic world with Christian Europe at the time, you would want to be in the Muslim world rather than Christian Europe. Today, it's totally opposite. And I think this is a particular crisis of Islam, which we will get through, but it will need a lot of effort. It will need a lot of intellectual work. It will need a lot of publicity. It will need a lot of transformation. Mm-hmm. And as a Muslim myself, I'm just trying to have my humble contribution to it if I can.
I need to ask you one last thing, Mustafa. Sharia law, do you think most Muslims would want to see that instituted where they live?
I don't think so. Well, it depends on. I mean, if you go to Afghanistan, if you ask, do you want Sharia law implemented here? 90% of the people will say yes. If you go to Turkey or Bosnia, you know, very few people would say this. And I'm saying this based on, you know, research polls by Pew Research Center in Washington, D.C. It depends. And when you ask Muslims living in the West, most of them just want to get along and make their lives. And the demand for implementing Sharia among Muslims living in the West, I think, if it's there, it's very minuscule.
It's Mustafa Akyol. His brand new book, as I said, out today. Brand new book, The Islamic Jesus, How the King of the Jews Became a Prophet of the Muslims. A lot more in the book out today. I'm sure you can get it on Amazon.com along with many other places. Mustafa Akyol here on 1320 WILS. Mustafa, thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael. It was my pleasure. Thanks for the support for the book, too.
Indeed.